The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now let's listen to this.
The Irish courts are refusing to allow the return of asylum seekers to the UK because they say your Rwanda scheme is a breach of international law. Is that a proof to you that the scheme is working, or is that embarrassing?
Well, I'm very confident that our scheme is compliant with all our international obligations, and I make absolutely no apology for doing everything I can to tackle illegal migration.
Can you get a return scheme with Ireland, do you think?
I'm not interested in that. We're not going to accept returns from the EU via Ireland when the EU doesn't accept returns back to France where illegal migrants are coming from. Of course we're not going to do that. I'm determined to get our Rwanda scheme up and running because I want a deterrent. I want it to be the case.
So is there a negotiation with the EU that this could be part of?
No. Okay. I'm focused squarely on getting our Rwanda scheme up and running. I want the deterrent, which will say that if you come to our country illegally, you will not be able to stay and you will be removed, either to your own country if it's safe, or Rwanda. That's why I've worked so hard at this. That's why we've done all the prep work for this. And actually, I want that deterrent up and running, and I'm confident that it will work.
It's interesting he uses the phrase returns there. That's Rishi Sunak speaking to Robert Beston, as if it's a pair of shoes or something that he's sending back to next. Whereas, in fact, we're talking about human beings and human beings who are arguably in a pretty distressed state. We'll speak to Dermot Murnaghan, journalist and broadcaster in London, in just a minute. But John O'Brien, professor of European politics at Maynooth University. Relations between Ireland and Britain had been shaky during Brexit. They had recovered, but we're kind of back at square one now by the sounds of it.
I think we are, Jonathan. The signing of the Windsor framework, I think, was very positive. It was followed by getting the institutions in Northern Ireland back up running. Today, we had a meeting of the British-Irish Intergovernmental Conference. It followed a meeting of the North-South Ministerial Council. But I think you're right. The unilateral actions of the British government on migration have plunged us back into this crisis. The common travel area between the two jurisdictions has been in place since 1925. And I think most people would argue that it's worked very well for both jurisdictions. But what Sunak is doing, which is all driven by electioneering and the fact that the Conservatives have virtually no policy left to run on except this really extreme migration policy, that's what's plunged the relationship into crisis. The fact that Sunak desperately needs this win, and he's engaging what I think is just performative cruelty to try and get that win, and he's prepared to do untold damage to UK-Irish relations in the process. That's the problem, and it's a problem that's not easily going to be overcome.
Yeah, Dermot Murnaghan, if I can turn to you, if the fight with Ireland is one thing, but in the same breath he's invoking France and saying that this is effectively Britain against the EU, and by jolly we gave them a whooping the last time. I mean, it is rather blatant, isn't it?
That's it in a nutshell, Jonathan. I mean, he's getting the Brexit band back together. You know, having a row with Ireland, with EU, it's perfect. This is a guy who's not, you know, he's looking further ahead, of course, to the general election, whenever that may come. But he's looking to this Thursday. In this Thursday, there are local elections. You know, not many people vote in local elections. Nevertheless, they're pretty comprehensive. They involve all kinds of councils, councillors, local mayors. And, you know, they're a good barometer of how the country is feeling. And all the polls say they're going to get a whopping. The Conservatives are going to lose something like 400 or 500 seats. And, you know, the wagons are circling to try and defend him, because already there are something like, I don't know, 23, 24 letters. No one knows for sure how many with the 1922 committee. That's the backbench Conservative committee that can remove a prime minister, as we saw with Boris Johnson in the past. They need to get to 53 to do that. There are moves afoot to remove Sunak on Thursday or Friday if it goes as disastrously as predicted. Now, throw this into the mix, and it's manna from heaven. It's fantastic. Even in their wildest dreams, Downing Street couldn't have come up with this. Lee Hall Martin, you know, when he made that statement about deterrence, we've seen the way they leapt upon it and said, well, that shows it's working. And the overall slogan is that the plan is working, whatever the plan may be. It applies to everything, but certainly does when it comes to migration.
James Cleverly was due to meet with the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, at the fringes of this intergovernmental conference today. Cleverly snubbed her, and that's played out quite badly over here, as you might imagine. It doesn't seem to have gotten much reference in the UK, because they're all swept up in what they say is the Prime Minister's ballsy defence of the Rwanda bill. This is not good, Derbysh, that we'd have the relations between the two countries hitting a point whereby one Home Secretary is effectively blanking another.
We've seen it time and time and again, you know, during the course of the Brexit negotiations, you know, right back to when Boris Johnson so-called got Brexit done. You know, Ireland is collateral damage in this grand project, which I don't think they know what the end is going to be to the project. But nevertheless, you know, Brexit must be done. Anything is worth throwing under that bus. And good relations with Ireland, you know, the Windsor Agreement, you know, that slight thawing, it doesn't matter anymore when they're fighting like cats in a sack. They will, yeah, you know, the short-term damage, it's worth it, because basically they're facing oblivion. Rishi Sunak, perhaps sooner rather than later.
John O'Brien, I suppose the European Union and to a lesser degree the government in Dublin are looking at this going, right, we let him have his little moment now, because Keir Starmer has said that within weeks of him taking power, the Rwanda bill is toast and the adults will be back in the room. So is this the last act of the dying Tory wasp?
Yeah, I think both Dublin and Brussels will be playing a waiting game here, for the obvious reasons that you've suggested. But Sunak has said and seems determined to get people on planes to Rwanda. He said he's going to do it by July. Now, this presents a real problem for Ireland. And I don't think the Irish government comes out of this, by the way, with that much credit either, because we've been told that there's going to be a cabinet meeting, an emergency law will be drafted, and that is intended to send people back to the UK. But we know, because the Irish High Court has said so, and because inevitably this is going to attract cases that will go to the European Court of Human Rights, that there's no way at the moment that any Irish government, even if it had an agreement with London, could send any of these people who may have come over the border from Northern Ireland, having travelled from Britain, could not send them back if there was a returns policy in place, because de facto they would be placing them in danger of being sent to Rwanda. And under ECH or jurisprudence, there's just no way, I think, that Ireland could do that. So I think we have to take some of the blame for this mess, frankly, Jonathan. It isn't all about electioneering on the part of London and the extremism of the Brexiters. And I also think we didn't anticipate this. I don't think we anticipated just how much the UK would diverge from EU norms in this area. A lot of attention went into trade and other things, but we just didn't think ahead to the point where a British government would be behaving in the extremist way it is, such that we might even not be able to maintain the common travel area if this was followed through to its logical endpoint.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, we were being forced to eat an elephant and we didn't know which slice to eat first, one would have to argue. On migration, the texters say, I think it's time we stop blaming the Brits for everything. We need to own our own issues, including the ability to enforce a robust immigration and asylum process. In addition, we need to be able to stand on our own two feet when it comes to defence. Another texter says, we are the same as France. We are the EU. We're not special. Rishi Sunak is right. The EU won't accept the return of asylum applicants from Britain, so why should they accept ours? United Ireland, says another texter, would solve the problem fast. A time to fast track a referendum. And the relationship might not be so icy if we didn't try to stop Brexit along with the EU after there was a democratic vote, says the one Irish person who still clearly thinks that Brexit might have been a good idea. Dermot Murnaghan, the other thing that's been kind of floating around the ether in the last few days is the idea that Rishi Sunak may indeed pull the plug and go for a general election. That there was speculation in some of the newspapers it might have been today, but it hasn't happened. So it looks like he is going to try and weather whatever storm comes with the local and I was going to say European elections, but that's not an issue, the local elections and the mayoral elections.
No, he always has that nuclear option. I mean, it's, you know, it's a bit like Violet Elizabeth Bott in the Williams stories. You know, I'll scream and scream until I'm sick. Would he really do that if they challenge him? Will he just say, okay, well, I'll go to the country instead? I mean, you know, they don't think any better of him, according to the polls, than some within the Conservative Party. Look, they're in a mess. I don't think they know what they will do, should they, when they get this drubbing in the local elections, to change a prime minister again, you know, the fourth one in a couple of years. I mean, the public would just regard it as utterly ridiculous. So whoever took over would probably have to call a general election instantly themselves. And nobody knows them. These politicians don't really understand that nobody knows who they are. Penny, Morden, Kemi Badenoch, whoever took over. Yes, they may appeal to the right wing of the Conservative Party, who seem to be pulling the strings here. But quite frankly, in terms of electoral appeal, well, you know, the only one that does resonate and is still, you know, got high recognition levels is, of course, Boris Johnson. He ain't got a seat. He can't stand.
Yeah. And just to wrap this up, is there any level of awareness amongst the British public about how this looks from the outside, that we are looking at a country that, you know, if we go back to 2012, I always refer to that as the pinnacle of the modern Britain that everybody respected, with the Olympics in London, and the project couldn't have been going better at that point, to where it is now. Portrayed as a racist country, seen as somewhere that'll happily deport people to a country that clearly isn't safe, and needless infighting and bickering just to save their own political skin. I mean, are people on the street aware of how we see them?
I think they are. I mean, I genuinely believe that, you know, there's a government and there's a factions within governments that drive policies. And this government has got further and further being painted into the right wing corner, and coming up with more and more red meat for a particular wing of the Conservative Party. You know, there are huge elements within the Conservative Party itself, including members of the cabinet now who are supporting the policy, who said initially, well, it won't work. And back to 2012, I always think, well, who was the prime minister then? Yes, it was one open arms hugger husky and hugger hoodie, David Cameron, who I noticed as Lord Cameron now of Chipping Norton.
Of Chipping Norton, please give him his proper title, yeah. Yes.
That bit. You know, was caught out, I think, last week when he was on his grand tour of the stands in his private jet when he was talking about this issue and talking about returns to France, and said, I'd love that situation to be the case again. That's not available at the moment. It's simply not possible, he said, without answering the question himself. Well, I wonder why that's not possible.
What could have happened?
Because of Brexit, yeah.
Yeah. Dermot Murnaghan, a broadcaster and journalist in London, thank you very much for that. Thanks to John O'Brien of Maynooth University as well. Let us know what you think. 53106 for a cost of 30 cents. Brian says, lads, you're falling into the Sunak trap. The Rwanda plan is a distraction for the Tories away from the Brexit mess they created. Long live the distraction, says Brian. I think, yeah, we definitely hit on that one in the last little while. I wonder, will we have a British election announced this month? I have a feeling we will, if the local elections go badly. I mean, we're looking at our own local elections in a couple of weeks' time, but there's a certain amount of weight being carried on them in the UK this week.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.